This podcast is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network, and it's also proud to be from Texas. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is the 2B2 Podcast. Daddy and Dave are awesome!
Oh, yeah.
John got a third,
he
got six.
Oh, yeah.
And we were, trying to sign in his scope. Well, I've never sighted in a scope before. Never sighted in a scope before, so I don't really know what the devil I'm doing.
But anyways, we get out there, and we shoot his 30-06 a little bit, and like, dude,
composite stock.
And so it was, like, kicked the hell out of me.
Oh, really?
The shirt is clean. What the hell do I have on the shoulder there? I don't know. Anyways, like, it kicked the hell out of me, dude. Like, it's crazy. And then, tried shooting my gun for a little bit, and I couldn't get it to, at first it wasn't feeding the magazine, like it wouldn't, the magazine wouldn't lock in, and I didn't know what the devil was going on, so, and like the bolt going forward was really just like sluggish or whatever, so dude starts looking at it, and like I'm super meticulous about those things, whenever I can get done using them, I take them and clean the crap out of them every time.
Yeah.
This is the last time we went out and all, I didn't clean it. I was like, I didn't have a place to set up and clean. So if it smells kind of funny in the house, it's because it's the solvent or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah. And, got done. Yeah. I was going to say crap. We're rolling on this right now, but like, if you want to, you can cut this out just cool. In case anybody gets too sensitive about things. But, the dude, pulled back the bolt, like I actually fired it like twice, and it wasn't, the firing pin wasn't denting the primer on the rounds at all.
Oh.
Yeah. So I don't know what the hell, man. And so dude looks at it. He's like, oh yeah, it's just super dirty. I was like,
just needs clean.
I was like, it's not freaking dirty because it wasn't like he stuck his finger and he's like, yeah, you see that? And it's like, yeah, there's going to be a little bit of carbon in there. I mean, but it wasn't like his finger was like stupid black or anything. So I don't know.
I don't know. I just know they're real meticulous in the military about keeping your weapon.
Oh yeah.
Than you are, I think.
Yeah. And that's the thing, man. Like I said, like I clean the devil out of it, like all the time. Like anytime we go out and go shoot and all like that good stuff, I usually the next day, cause we will usually go on a Saturday, the next day, the next day, what I'll do is I'll take everything apart and just clean it and just oil it up real good and put it back. And, you know, it's perfect. I don't know. But yeah, it's just show me at the wall. So it's like whenever John and I got back yesterday, I was like, I can't even wait. So I had to break it all down and took it all apart. And
the gun that hurt me the most shooting is Milton used to have a black powder rifle.
Oh, really?
I mean, you actually pour the powder in, put the use the ram down, shot that thing. I guess put too big of a load in it. Good Lord.
Dumped the hell out of you.
Yeah. It's like, well, it's going to knock something down.
And that's the thing, man. A lot of those black powder rifles are like 50 caliber and stuff that. They're big rounds.
Huge.
Was his like a kind of like a modern style gun, or was it like the old school, like Tennessee long rifle and
it
stuff
was
like that
more
or whatever?
Modern.
Yeah.
But just functioned the same as the old style.
Okay.
Got a neighbor. He collects guns and he's got stuff that goes back to like 17.
Oh, wow.
Old muskets and stuff.
Yeah.
He's got spears from Africa and he's got a huge
That's cool, man.
Yeah. Old Jim.
Yeah. That's, I remember going to, where was it? Right after I graduated high school, the year that I graduated high school, me, mom and dad and Amanda took a vacation road trip thing to like, we went to Colorado, to Western Colorado. They had some friends that live up there. So we went to Western Colorado, hung out there in the Gateway / Grand Junction area.
Mm-hmm.
And then went from there to, Wyoming. We stayed in Cody, Wyoming, went to Yellowstone. Yellowstone was freaking amazing. Like Yellowstone was just stupid awesome. So we went to Yellowstone, but while we were there, we stayed in Cody, Wyoming. We were only there for like 2 days because we were in, I think it's either 2 or 3 days. I can't remember. Well, anyways, while we were there, we stayed in Cody, Wyoming, and they have, I think it's a Buffalo Bill Museum that have.
Yeah.
Dude, that thing was crazy because they had this huge, and I think it was a Remington exhibit there at the museum. And basically it was just about every firearm throughout history from like the very beginning all the way till current. Like I couldn't tell you how many thousands of guns there were. It was just neat to just walk through and see, man. Like I said, I know that that's a touchy subject, but
Colorado though.
Yeah.
I love Colorado.
Oh, God. The
only thing, biggest problem with Colorado, there's too many Texans living there.
Right. Have you ever been to the western part of Colorado?
Yeah. I've been southwest.
Okay. Yeah.
And went fishing there.
Yeah. Once. Is that the, like, Durango?
Durango. Okay. We kind of stopped in Durango and then went on back through New Mexico on our way home.
Okay.
And we went out to the Grand Canyon.
Oh, cool.
We went out to the Grand Canyon, which is the most impressive thing that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And then went up into Colorado and then kind of cut back down, went through, like near that, the Red River, New Mexico area.
Hell yeah. That's awesome. Like, is it like, I'd love to go see the Grand Canyon sometime.
And it's one of those things I tell my wife, and we gotta go just because you can't look at a picture.
Oh no. Yeah.
It doesn't do it justice. Just the enormity of the.
Oh yeah. Well, it's just like Yellowstone, man. You'll never, like, you can't look at a picture of Yellowstone and be like, oh, well, that's awful pretty.
Yeah.
You can't, it doesn't do it justice, man. It's like, once you get there and you actually see, like, the mineral deposits from whatever and the elk are actually standing up on these giant mineral deposits, just licking away at them or whatever. It's just amazing, man. Just absolutely, like, awe-inspiring, the beauty of nature, just everything was just about it. It's just freaking cool. But yeah, I would love to go to Grand Canyon sometime. And I want to go to, is it Monument Valley? I think is what it's called.
Yeah.
Monument Park or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where they used to film all the old westerns and
think
stuff.
That's it. Cause there's a song Drive-By Truckers had called Monument Valley. He talks about John Ford.
Oh, okay.
So it's a really long, slow song. And it's really about a death of a friend.
Yeah.
That like one of his best memories was being there with this guy at Monument Valley. And
that's
really
cool.
Descriptive about the, you know, the vistas and John Ford movies. You can tell the John Ford movie just by there's always a grand cinematic shot of the environment.
Oh, okay.
You can see it in there.
Yeah. Now, I'm not familiar with John Ford. Like, the name's not ringing a bell. Like, I'm pretty sure what movies.
A lot of old, I can't bring it up right now to mind, but like a lot of old John Wayne movies.
Oh, okay. Cool. Westerns, all right.
Like you're talking
about. Yeah. I kind of figured as much since it was like, you know, cause there's, dude, I couldn't tell you how many, you know, old westerns I saw where, you know, it opens up or whatever. It'll have like the grand view of the surrounding area. And it's just.
Well, that's the thing that always used to drive me crazy. All the westerns, even ones that are set like in Kansas or Texas, Eastern Texas, they're always in the desert.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure I've seen that Lone Ranger ride up that same road. I guess because they were limited.
That's one, something I always like made me laugh too is whenever you watch these westerns or whatever and they'll show them going down the road and it's like, you can tell obviously that that road was made with tires and not with wheels from like a wagon or horses or anything like that, you know?
Oh, yeah. John Ford did Stagecoach, which was John Wayne's, one of his first movies.
Yeah.
The Searchers, which is a great movie.
Yeah.
About a couple of guys looking for a young lady or girl that was kidnapped by, I think, the Comanches.
Okay.
It takes years and years.
Yeah.
And then, Man Who Shot Liberty Valance.
Oh, dude, that's a good one.
And then, he filmed a John Steinbeck novel. He filmed the adaptation of The Grapes of Wrath.
Oh, okay.
Really, really. So he's like, John Ford's one of those directors that there's probably a lot more I've seen that I just can't think of.
Yeah. Right
now. I just pulled up his page right there and saw those are the best ones or top ones that come up.
Do you think John Ford accurately introduced the intercalary chapters from The Grapes of Wrath?
I don't know.
I tell you right now, dude, I had a, oh man, like anytime I hear Grapes of Wrath, I just like, I just want to put my head in my hands. Mm. Like, you know, now that I'm older and could probably appreciate it more, I should probably try to reread it again or whatever, but I had to read
the movie. If you haven't seen the movie, just watch the movie.
See, I've stayed away even from the movie because I hated that book so much because my junior year in high school, we had a student teacher and, you know, she was like, I'm going to be the cool teacher or whatever, you know, come in. Oh my God, dude. Well,
the first time, I think I'd seen it before, but we watched it at my mom and dad's once.
Yeah.
We were living with them while we were building our house.
Yeah.
And there's a something happens near the end of the movie, and my wife went, "Oh, blank." And then she looked up at my mom and said, "Oh, I'm sorry." Because it was such a shock to her that she like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that." Because it was just a shocking
end of
the movie. So you know what happened in the book.
But it's Henry Fonda that plays Tom Joad, right?
He's great.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I just remember the second chapter in that book being about a turtle crossing a road.
Yeah.
Oh, my. And that was where, like, the whole intercalary. I can't even remember what the hell an intercalary chapter is supposed to mean, but I just remember the word intercalary chapter, and she was going on about this turtle crossing a road supposed to, well, I guess it's like symbolism or whatever. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. It's a great public education.
We're all over the place today. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. I do have green embedded in my skin.
So, I can't pinch you then.
Exactly,
man. I'll pinch you anyhow. You don't have green clothes on. I was going to wear my, I got a Tommy Wimey Podcast Hour t-shirt. I was going to wear it today.
Heck yeah.
My wife said, "You got to wear green." I'm like, "Who's going to mess with me?" She's like, "You got to wear it." So I, appease my loving wife.
You wore a green shirt.
I wore a green t-shirt.
The loving boss.
The loving boss, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I'm drinking a green tea.
Oh, look at that. So you've just got green on. I got
green inside.
Oh, jeez.
I got red hair or some of it. Some of it's left.
See, I always say that I get a pass for that, man. Like, I just kind of look like, we both look like giant leprechauns as it is. We both have red hair.
I did our ancestry, and I know the big part of it that comes through our shared family is from Scotland, Ireland. The DNA thing showed it.
Yeah. So we get a pass. Whatever. We get a pass is the way I see it. It's like our international pass card for.
Trisha's insane about St. Patrick's Day for some reason.
Oh, really?
Gotta do something St. Patrick's Day. So why? You don't really care.
You don't really have to, but did you know that in St. Patrick's Day, the color that they use to celebrate St. Patrick's Day is blue and not green?
Really?
Yep. I do not know why. I just looked that up one time. In Ireland. Yeah.
I've been to Ireland.
I have not.
I went to Derry, Ireland for 2 days.
Oh, really?
A few years back. That's one of the.
Is that one where y'all went to London or whatever? Or
yeah. This is 2BT, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, everybody. Welcome to 2BT. I'm David.
I'm Michael.
Steven's fired.
Steven.
We got wires mixed.
I'm sorry.
That's just the best way to put it.
I probably should be fired because I think I misunderstood his schedule.
And don't worry because I misunderstood it also. Because
use some punctuation, Steve. You threw me off.
We got wires crossed somehow. We thought Steve said that he would only be able to do it on Sunday. Mike can only do it on Saturday. Come to find out, Mike, I guess you reread the message on the way over here or whatever.
I went back and looked.
And he goes, anyways, we suck at this. And I, for one, I'm sorry that Steven has fired this episode, but that's okay. He will promptly be back whenever he pays penance and cleans the toilets.
I was listening to that. I was like, I sent a message to you guys. I was like,
yeah,
I'm not guys, cleaning. I love you, but I'm not cleaning your freaking toilet. I'm not doing that.
Especially after having a bean burrito.
Oh, God, no. But we're 2BT. Should be 3BT, but it's TBT. Should be TBT.
Well, because I was listening to another podcast the other day that's part of the Nerdy Legion Network or whatever. And VCP, Valiant Central Podcast, and they were talking about
the very last episode
of VCP.
Dearly departed.
So, sorry, don't try to go download it because, well, I guess you could download back episodes.
It's there.
But,
You can waste a lot of time listening to those guys.
They were wondering why we were 2BT when there was actually three of us. And it was just kind of like one of those things where it was like, we named the podcast and all of a sudden we're like, well, we should have Steven, which is my brother, Michael's cousin. We're like, we should have Steven do it also. And we had already recorded one episode, so we really couldn't go back and change the name. And we had actually thought about using the name All in the Family because technically the podcast is 2BT, All in the Family. But we had already recorded one episode and I think we'd already released it. I can't remember. And then all of a sudden we were just like, oh man, we should get Steven in on this. Yeah. Why the hell didn't we think about this in the first place?
Oh, we thought about it. We just didn't think he'd be available that much.
Yeah.
He's been more reliable than me.
I know. But then again, 2BT sounds a lot better than 3BT. 3BT just kind of like throws it off a little bit.
Well, 2BT, to go back around to my trip to Ireland, one of the reasons it's 2BT is two bald Texans.
Yes.
But also two broke Texans.
Yes.
And one of the reasons I'm broke all the time is because my wife and I like to travel.
Oh, yeah.
And so we'll go spend all our money on a trip. Like we went to our oldest daughter went to London and Ireland and Scotland in 1 week.
Oh, wow.
And what's cool over there, there's an airline called Ryanair.
Yeah.
And literally you can fly from London to Northern Ireland for $60.
Oh, wow.
Stay cheap somewhere and then hop another plane a day or two over to, that's what we did, to Edinburgh, Scotland.
Yeah.
And then just did a little circle in like 3 days, half the week. And we went to Derry, Ireland, which is on the north. And Derry is where the troubles began.
I was going to say, Derry, anytime somebody says in the north, Ireland, that's whenever I start kind of puckering up a little bit because
and it's very much in your face there because that literally is where hundreds of years ago, the conflict between the Irish and the British really, the English really took hold in Derry.
Oh, okay.
Well, Londonderry, as the Brits like to call it.
Yeah.
But it's Derry. And it's right on this river on the north side of Ireland.
Yeah.
And we stayed inside the castle wall, the walls. It's a walled city. Literally has a wall all the way around it that you can walk on top of. Cannons are still there.
Oh, wow.
And then overlooking where the Irish, the people that were like loyal to the crown lived inside the city walls, and then all the Irish lived down this steep embankment. And I mean, it's still there. That there's tension. I mean, when we were there, I read in the newspaper when I picked up a paper up there, the bomb found somebody's car there.
Oh, wow.
Didn't go off, I don't think, but
yeah,
you know, there's murals all over down outside the walls of people that have been from the IRA that have died or were arrested during Sunday, Bloody Sunday.
Yeah.
And we talked to a lot of people and some of them, and we didn't even bring it up really.
Yeah.
Just like in conversation, bringing up, talking about the history, and they would say stuff. And it's like a lot of these people, one guy, well, he didn't say it, but this lady said, yeah, he was in the IRA.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, I don't really want to talk about that.
Isn't there like different factions of the IRA or whatever? Because there's like the Red Hand of Ulster.
Yeah.
And what was it? Now, have you ever heard the whole like story of the Red Hand of Ulster or whatever? Like,
I don't know
how that. Well, I don't. And it's not like necessarily the faction, but like how the whole thing about the Red Hand. And apparently, I think it was two Irish kings that were. They were trying to say, well, Ireland is mine. And the other one was saying, well, Ireland is mine. And they were both warring for it. And they decided to have a boat race. And they took them out into the, I guess, like the channel or whatever, the ocean, whatnot. And I'm probably butchering this story, but apparently they took them out in two separate boats and they made them row. And whoever made it to shore first and touched the shore was the winner and would be crowned king of Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're rowing and they're rowing and they're rowing and they're rowing. And one guy sees that he's not going to win. He knows that he's not going to win. So what he does is he cuts his hand off and he takes it and he throws it at the shore. Yeah. And so he became king of the Red Hand. That's how he became king of Ireland.
Irish history, mythology. You can go down the rabbit hole there.
Oh God. Yeah. Keep going on Ireland there. I'm actually looking.
I loved it there though. I mean, the people were very friendly, very nice. Little bit, yeah. Don't bring up the troubles in conversation.
Oh yeah, I kind of figured.
You're sitting in a pub, and because you don't want to get somebody a little bit upset with you. But it was really nice, and then that town is really tiny. You can actually just spend a day there, just enjoy, eat some good food, and
that's one of my dream vacations. And I might have brought that up one time before. Like I have what I like to call retirement vacations, and one of them is going to Ireland. I call them retirement vacations because they would take a while and it would be probably the only time I'd have time to do them all is when I'm retired.
Yeah.
One of them is going to Ireland and basically not even having a plan. Just go to Ireland, rent a car, rent a bicycle, take a train, whatever. Just go and then just drive or ride and find some place cool. Like you see a little town that you want to go to that you want to stop at, stay the night, stay however many days that you want to stay there, get your fill of it.
That's
move on to the
great
next
way
one.
To do it. Cause I don't think I could handle driving in like in London. I don't think I could handle it. But once you get out and you see the countryside, it's beautiful. everywhere we went was beautiful.
Yeah.
And yeah, the roads didn't seem that bad. Like you could go from town to, you know, through the country. And
that's one thing I would love to do, man. And like I said, cause it's like, you never know. You might find a place that you just want to hang out for like a day, or you might find a place you want to hang out for an hour, get a drink at a pub, and then move on to the next town or whatever. Now I'm kind of right there with you. I don't think I'd want to drive, cause like, you know, when I start listing off places I want to go to in Ireland, like I really would like to go to Dublin and Guinness and then Jameson and whatever and see all the crap in Dublin and then kind of move on and even go up to the north and see Belfast. Yeah, now that you've mentioned Derry, like I'm really interested in Derry and I'd love to go to Cork and, you know, Kerry. And it's just,
it's not big.
Yeah.
The island really compared to, I think it fits in the state of Texas. When we went to another reason I'm broke is because we went to Alaska last year.
Yeah.
And we were part of this tour where you had to be on a bus riding with people and you had to follow a schedule. If I ever go back to Alaska, which I hoped to do, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to rent it because we ran into some people.
Yeah.
That's what they were doing. They got a car and they just drive. And if they see somewhere, they would just stop there rather than have dictated to you, well, you got to be here or you're going to be left behind or that kind of thing. So that's the way to do it.
Yeah. Just kind of back up just a wee bit.
I'm not even try.
I was going to bring up a documentary. I don't know if I've watched it on Netflix. I thought it was really cool. It's called The Art of Conflict. Have you ever seen that before?
No.
It's narrated by Vince Vaughn. It's done in 2012. It's the murals of Northern Ireland. And, crap, I just hit the load thing on this and now it's taking a sweet time. Basically, it's the murals of Northern Ireland. They're in, Belfast and like Derry and stuff. And it's like the murals from like what you were talking about, the IRA, the Red Hand of Ulster.
Yeah.
And basically it was showing those. And it was, like I said, it's done in 2012. And I know that like, the troubles kind of spurred back up. And what was it like 2015? They kind of spun back up a little bit,
but it's, yeah.
But, okay.
It's here. The thing that's always kind of there.
Yeah. It finally loaded. It says the murals of Northern Ireland are an expression of the region's violent troubles. The Art of Conflict examines these murals through their painters and the people who live there, exploring this unique street art's impact, purpose, and future. And like I said, man, it's a really cool documentary. One of the things I dig is art, and I specifically dig like street art and murals and stuff. And, you know, whenever you go through it, and what's really neat is because they actually kind of, they break it down and they kind of like tell them the message that the mural is sending or whatever, because there's almost like, I don't want to say like hidden symbols in there, but there are kind of hidden like symbols in every one of them. Like, you know, if it's a Red Hand of Ulster mural, then it'll have like an actual red hand in there or whatever. So, and it's just one of those things. And so, yeah, man, that's our. That's our St. Patrick's Day. I kind of feel like we should have had some music playing in the background of like some Dropkick Murphys or Flogging Molly.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah. So what's cool is, you know, The Last Jedi came out on.
Yes, it did.
In digital this past week. Of course, I bought it on Tuesday. I think I wound up talking you into buying it on Tuesday.
I'm like, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to wait 2 weeks. I'm not going to wait 2 weeks to be responsible. I'm like, no, I'm not.
No, you're not. Go ahead and watch it.
Got it. Watched it. Yeah.
But.
And the novel came out too. That's what I forgot about.
Yes, man. And that's what's really cool about the audiobooks. Speaking of audiobooks.
Oh, Audible. Sponsored by Audible this episode.
Yes. Go to nerdylegion.com/audible
or just go to the Nerdy Legion site, click on the Audible link. And I think they still got the 2 free book credit
deal
going on. And just go get the books, download them, listen to them. If you don't keep Audible, you get to keep the books. But I'm enjoying the heck out of mine.
It is awesome, man.
And there's so many books though.
Oh yeah.
200,000 plus books. And then it's like, oh God, okay. The Last Jedi novel is coming out. Hopefully it'll be available. I need to get that. And then there's other book I want to get. And I'm like, I don't want to spend money. I just want to use my credits.
Oh yeah. And what's crazy is like, you can go to Audible and you're like, well, I wonder what this book sounds like in audio. you can play the sample and check it out just for real quick. Yeah. Just hear, because man, trust me, there's been books that I've gotten that I couldn't listen to because the author seriously put, not the author, but the narrator put me to sleep. And it's just because they had a good soft voice and they just kind of spoke like this the entire time to where they're just droning on like my old chemistry teacher, Mr. Danner.
To the door.
Yeah, exactly.
And put his hand on the doorknob. And turn the doorknob.
Oh, geez. But anyways, we, Last Jedi came out on, came out in book form, novel, whatever. But the really cool thing about Star Wars books is, I don't know if you've checked any of those out or played any of them, but they do like a full production on those just about. Like, it's not like different people doing all the different voices, but the narrators are really great for the Star Wars books, but they also add like music from the Star Wars movies, and then they have sound effects from the Star Wars movies as well, man. Oh,
really?
So, yeah, oh, yeah.
Like it's worked into the story.
Like worked into the story. Like they might be in like a battle or something like that. So you'll hear laser blasts and stuff. And, you know, it might be a cityscape. So it'll also have like speeders going by or whatnot. And just all sorts of things, man. So this
I'm really interested in seeing this because I've tried not to spoil myself on what the novel's about.
Yeah.
Oh, I know it's another Last Jedi, guys. I get it. I've seen the movie, but there's like, it's called the Last Jedi, the expanded edition.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's going to be extra scenes giving you, like they usually do.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Adaptation. You get to see, get some more information about what happens.
Yeah. I'm actually, I will be getting that because I do that on most of the Star Wars movies, but I got the, I think it's called Catalyst that led up to Rogue One that kind of gave it a little bit of explanation. And with that one, it wasn't the greatest book, but it did give you like a reason why, Jyn is called Stardust she knew that the, file Stardust was her, that her dad called her Stardust because it's okay. Yeah. But the Star Wars productions of their books are really, really good. Whether the book is great or not, that's a totally different subject.
Right. Yeah.
But, talking about The Last Jedi, I went to a buddy of mine's house on Thursday. I have this group of friends that anytime one of the Star Wars movies releases, we get together and we kind of like do a little cookout and then watch the movie all together or whatever. Well, unfortunately, this time we did it on a Thursday. Mm-hmm. I couldn't really stay for the entire thing, so I wound up having to leave. But, you know, that's what happens whenever you have to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's really cool because he's a prop builder and, he does a lot of work. He's got his own R2. He's an R2 builder. He's a prop builder. He's built all sorts of different props. Yeah,
he gets to take them to like the opening nights and stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And, he's on the RPF, which is a replica prop for him and blah, 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 blah. Well, anyways, we get over there and he has this whole thing set up. And since it was, The Last Jedi, we had green milk to drink, which was alcoholic green milk, but it was great because he had it in like one of these jugs that, you know, has a spigot on the side. And,
tell me he didn't make it look like that big. Oh gosh.
He did, man. He did it really easy. He just like printed out a picture and then had a little tube coming out of the teat from the sea cow or whatever.
That scene still makes me uncomfortable.
But what was cool is he gave us all one of these.
Oh, wow.
And now that I tell you what it is, you realize what it is. Luke's green milk bottle.
Heck yeah, man.
I cleaned it the other day and put the cap on it. So it's kind of got some condensation on the inside of it.
That is awesome.
But that bottom part, he did the 3D print. And then that's, you know, a little bit of faux leather. And then that ring right there is also 3D printed as well.
Cool.
And like he even went like, Trent is awesome and he's super meticulous.
I just pretended I was Luke and gave a little wink.
That is great.
Awesome, man.
He's so meticulous. He even counted the amount of wraps.
Are you serious?
I'm so serious. Not even kidding one bit that he even counted the amount of wraps right there and put that on there. Jeez. So he gave us that. And then we had a little trivia contest and it was the trivia question was, what was the cell block that Princess Leia was held in on the Death Star? And the answer is cell block 2187. I'll stay here. You gonna get her. Well, the prize was this awesome Luke's grappling hook or whatever.
Oh my God. I would have gotten so much trouble with this if I was a kid.
All right.
If I'd have had that. And he made this.
He made that. That's actually, machined.
He machined it down and all that.
Machined it down and all that. Yeah. It's aluminum and brass.
Put them up.
Oh yeah. Oh man. That's right. I was going to live tweet this for a little bit today. So guess what I'm going to do right now? I mean, why not? It's not like we have, you know. It's not like we have anybody listening to us.
It's not like anybody follows us on Twitter either.
All right.
Well, 25 people.
I think
half of them are you, me, and our family.
It probably is, but that's all right, man. They like this stuff. Oh, so dude,
this might go in my pocket. How did he do that?
That's a good question.
Talent.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got friends with the, there's this one guy we went to his, he does a, his name is, well, I don't know if I'll give out his name. It's not like anybody listens to us anyways. His name is Philip Wise. He owns a couple of websites. He's pretty prominent in the Star Wars community. And he does this prop building party every year to anybody that's on this one forum called the Replica Prop Forum.
Yeah.
Sends them invites. And if you can make it, you can make it. And it's really, really cool because he's got like this whole shop. And whenever I say shop, like he's rich as, you know, whatever. It's got,
what's his address?
Yeah, exactly. But he's got, you know, CNC machines and all like this good stuff there inside the building. So it's like, you know, you just kind of learn how to, I guess, mill your own parts or whatever. You know, that's how Trent made his, R2 or whatever.
He's got to start somewhere and follow it, right?
Yeah, exactly, man. So it's, I was going to live tweet it, but I was like, you know what? Never mind. Not going to worry about it. I mean, who really wants to see our ugly mugs up here?
No. Not me.
We'll just go live right now. We're totally live.
We're live?
I don't know if this is really working or not.
What's it do?
I don't know.
Is it actually like a recording?
Yeah, I think so.
Uh-oh. I'm hiding behind the...
Oh, wait. There we go.
What?
Yeah, now we're live. Check it out. Oh,
God.
Talking. We really don't have a clue what the devil we're talking about today, but... Oh, wait. You know what? I didn't mean to do that on mine.
Oh, you did it on your own?
Yeah. Anyways, I don't know. This is going to be the worst episode of 2BT that we've gotten.
Or the best.
I think it'll probably be the best, honestly, to tell you the truth. Not this single. But, so I see you brought your red sun there.
Red, yeah.
The Red Rising.
The Red Rising Sons of Ares. And it's a 6-issue prequel that came out, I believe it was last year, or it might have been the year before. And I got them by accident because I had gone in and I'd looked at them and thought about buying them.
Yeah.
And I just never bought them.
Okay.
I'm like, oh, I don't have the money. I'm going to do this. They're responsible of me. I got to be responsible. I got to be good. Hey, you're live tweeting me right now, aren't you?
I was trying to be incognito. Check it out. Yeah. Look.
And so I got these. I placed an order for some other books and they came in and these were in there.
Okay.
Except for issue number 2.
Oh.
And
so did you just skip really know issue what number 2? You just read number
1? I got it. I downloaded it on Comixology.
Yeah.
Look around the room.
I'm going to give us a little tour.
And so Brown wrote it.
Yeah.
It's an actual prequel that really is important and ties into the novels.
Okay.
And I was going to leave this here with you, and I've got to track down number 2. I mean, you probably fill in the blank between, because I think there's a summary at the beginning.
Yeah. We actually had somebody join.
Oh, no.
I know. That's kind of weird.
So who?
Somebody.
Let's see. Well, hello, somebody.
Yeah.
Here, look at this, somebody.
Yeah, check out that one. Give us another cover there.
Look at the art.
Oh, yeah.
Really. And in the first 3 pages, he completely summarizes the history of man moving from Earth out into space.
Yeah.
And this is what I really love.
Oh, that's cool.
Every color.
Oh, gold, wow.
On the right, reds on the bottom left.
Yeah.
Reds, pinks. I guess that'd be the blacks.
And their emblems, too.
Yeah. Browns.
That's wicked cool.
Orange.
Yeah.
It's really good. You know, the planet, the map is beautiful. And the art is kind of a rougher look, but it's colors in it. It's beautiful. Well,
even to me, like with the way the story is, because the story's awful, I would say almost kind of rough. Like, so what, I mean, the rough art would go along with it.
It's very violent.
Yeah.
And it's just like the book. I mean, there's some really rough, violent stuff in here. So that cover, I'm just going to let them stack up here. I'm going to leave them here for you and Steve anyhow. Look at this cover here.
Oh, wow.
And what this is about
is
the Red Rising. It's about the rise of the Sons of Ares.
Okay.
How it begins with the birth of Finchner.
Okay.
It's his life story.
Oh, okay. All right.
I don't want to. Well, you know what I mean, yeah. He tells in the books about why he's involved with,
why he's involved with the, why he basically started the Sons of Ares.
Yeah, yeah. And, basically this is, and there's another person makes an appearance in it that's, kind of one of our favorites. I don't want to spoil too much, but, kind of a closely related to Finchner.
Okay. I think I know exactly who you're talking about.
And, basically, he tells a story in the novels about how he fell in love with a red.
Yeah.
This shows the entire, and guess who that is?
Oh, is it?
Look at her leg.
Yeah.
Prosthetic.
Okay.
It's a great, you're going to love it.
That's awesome, man.
I just wish I had number two for you, but yeah, it's the story of, why Finchner became disillusioned with the society and the goals. Yeah. And it's really, I told you when I first read the first two or three the issues, I'm like, oh my God, this is good. And I wish they would do more. I wish they would, maybe do graphic novels of the actual novels and stuff. Cause yeah. It really tells a story so well. And it goes, sometimes it'll be like, half the page will be present and the panels next to it running down the side of the page, other half of the page will be in the past.
Oh, okay.
And he uses that. He goes back and forth in time a lot in it. He's a heck of, I said it before, Pierce Brown, we love you.
Oh, yeah.
Heck of a storyteller. And that makes me just, reading these makes me more excited about, you know, the next novel coming out in September.
I just can't imagine what his work schedule is like, man. Like, he is one busy dude. That or he's just able just to, like, that he's just a natural storyteller that can bang the stuff out left and right, man.
He has to be to have it that, I mean, there's lots of words in these books, but it's not like he's wordy.
Yeah.
He just tells a story and it's always action, always something happening. That's what this is. These six issues really only take place over just a couple of days. You get more information because he does jump back.
Okay.
In time to tell why he's doing what he's doing.
Oh.
It's good.
Yeah.
Really good. I hope. We need to send a message to him and ask him. Hopefully he'll have some more comic book related stuff someday.
That would be amazing because, you know, as we talked about beforehand, like there's a lot of, I would love to know the backstory of Ragnar. Yeah. I mean, we know the backstory of Ragnar. Obviously he was.
But the comic books would be a perfect place to do it.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. Cause only that, like, you know, I have this own mental image in my head of what Ragnar looks like whenever I read the book or whatever, but I would like to see what, you know, what his image of Ragnar is or whatever. And it might still, I guess it's still kind of like an artist rendition of what Ragnar is.
Right, but I'm sure where he meets,
Darrow.
Darrow, yeah. That'd be cool.
That would be, and you could even end the story there where he meets Darrow or even Sephi, the quiet, you know, Ragnar's sister.
Well, you know, this is put out by Dynamite and I'm always kind of aware they do a lot of, things that are adapted or associated with like, products.
Yeah, they've done the Dresden Files.
And I'm always kind of wary of stuff like that because you never know if you're going to get the quality.
Yeah.
You know, is it going to live up to your expectations? And this definitely did.
Awesome, man.
Yeah, yeah. Send a message to Brown saying we need more of this.
Right. Kind of thing. More of this.
Well, the trait came out this month too.
I haven't got that, but. I've actually got it in my cart on Amazon. I just haven't actually ordered it yet.
Yeah.
I thought about pre-ordering it a while back and I was just like, cause I got all excited cause I saw the trade and I was like, yeah. And then I saw that it wasn't supposed to release till March and I was like, oh crap.
Yeah.
But, there's been a few, it's been a few Dresden books done. And it's Dynamite that does them.
Do you have any of them?
I actually do have one of them. And it's right over here. I might be able to get over there and get that real quick.
You've got it buried.
I know. That's spare parts right there. Check it out. Steve's mic is right here so I can still talk while I'm trying to get in this drawer. This is my spare parts bin.
Either you wanted to keep it safe or you hated it.
Well,
because you've got another
building. I got these tin pans.
Oh.
Because that's, I use these. Work. Yeah, these are my gloves for the bleaching. That's my, Trent, actually, he's a 3D printer, and he printed me this, that's the training remote and the training remote arm for my Falcon for my vintage.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, because that piece itself is stupid expensive.
Oh, sweet.
There's that, and you can take that home and read it. I picked that up in Chicago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Jim Butcher's The Dresden Files.
And it's not...
Downtown.
Yeah, it's not necessarily one of the... I got so much crap in this drawer. That one has Molly in it. Molly is a character that comes in later in the books. She's the daughter of Michael Carpenter, another character that comes in In the third book, one of my favorites, actually the character of Michael is my favorite.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, hey, you can see where I left, left my book page in there at one point. I picked that up in Chicago whenever I was kind of doing my little walkabout. You know, I go on vacation somewhere, and it wasn't vacation. I was there technically on business for work for my union.
Yeah.
But you know, during the day we get done, and where I was staying at was really close. What do they call it? Millennium Park, I think is what it's called, where the bean is. And so I walked over to the Married with Children fountain because I can't think of the name of it. I think it's Buckingham Fountain is the name of it. I walked over to the Married with Children fountain and then saw that and walked over to the bean and then just saw a building. I really like architecture. So I just saw a building. So I just wandered off and went and checked out this building. And then by the time I checked, you know, to see how far I was from the hotel, it was like 7 miles from the hotel. I was crap, this is going to suck. But I was like, I'm on walkabout, so I just started walking back to the hotel.
That's the way we
do. And I found a comic book shop, and it was really, really cool because I picked up that, and I got this little Coochie Moochie Princess Leia bobblehead thing. It's not a Funko. I don't know who it is. It is Funko.
Is it?
But it's not the pop vinyls.
No, it's a bobblehead.
Yeah. And the pop vinyls are bobbleheads as well.
This is a New Hope
Leia. Yeah, it's a New Hope Leia, but she's a... I'll send a picture of that later on the Twitter, so if you want to see it... Go join our Twitter at 2BT Show.
She's angrily pointing a gun at me, waving her head side to side.
She's telling you no. But you can take that Dresden Files book home and read it.
Yeah, perfect mix of mystery, thrills, humor, man. That definitely summarizes the series. God, I got so much to read. I'm working my way through the Audible version of
with Ready Player One.
Will Wheaton. and he's so good on it, of the Ready Player One. Mm-hmm. And I'm just so excited for that movie coming out in 2 weeks.
Like 2 weeks, yeah.
End of the month.
Was it 27th or 29th or something?
Yeah, I think that's the 29th, I think.
Let me look.
And I'm also working my way through The Expanse. And I've got two words for you. I'm right through in the very middle of that novel. And it's a huge book. Vomiting zombies.
What?
Yeah. If you don't think interplanetary warfare and mystery and war and missing persons case is not crazy enough, throw in some vomiting zombies.
Right.
Yeah. When I saw that, I was like, oh my God, this took another twist. I didn't see that coming. And that's one of those things where I'm glad there's no spoilers. So I just spoiled it for everybody. Dang. Yeah. But no, if that's your thing, and that's why I see Martin was one of the people that recommended that book to me.
Okay.
And one of the reasons I know now get why he likes it, because it's got zombies in it.
Oh, is he a big zombie fan?
Zombie fan, yeah.
I know some guys hate this, but there's a Star Wars Zombies book, man.
Is there?
There is. And it's Star Wars, crap, man. I've got the zombie trooper in there in my living room that came with the, yeah, it came with the little mini bust. It was like, the book plus the mini bust, and mini bust was by Gentle Giant. It's this really cool zombie stormtrooper.
Little interlude.
Right.
Talk amongst yourselves while you listen.
That's all right. I figured since you said that you're going to edit it out, I would let the son of a bitch fly just a second ago.
Yeah, that's no problem.
I can't believe that just
pissed me off. Don't you hate that when it's right on the tip of your... I guess this is getting older because I find myself like I have it right there at the tip of my tongue and it'll come to me 2 days later.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And this is driving me up. There it is. There's a cover. What's it called? Death Troopers. How the hell did I forget that? Star Wars Death Troopers. Yeah. And it's basically... there's a couple of characters in it. I'll tell you who they are. There's a couple of characters from the original trilogy in it that really kind of gives it away that they're not going to die. So, you know, they get put in some situations where you start kind of worrying about them a little bit. But you know... that they're not going to die, unless they just decide to do it like a standalone, like by itself. And I guess this would be considered part of the legacy now, since it was before Disney buyout or whatever.
Right.
But basically, and I'm going to try to roll with this freestyle. It's been a while since I read the book. I'm not going to try to look at the synopsis or anything like that. But basically what it is there's a prison transport ship cruising through space, and they get pulled out of hyperspace by a Star Destroyer. And so they send a crew to check out the Star Destroyer because they can't, they're trying to hail them and they can't get anybody to them. And they pulled out a gravity well, so it stopped. And they try to hail them and there's nobody answering. And so they send a crew over there. And next thing you know, this crew comes back and now they've been infected with the zombie virus. Ooh. And so now it starts breaking out on the prison ship, on the prison ship. And then they, some people escape and go to the, wow. to the,
That's not exactly the same storyline as, the Expanse, Leviathan Wakes.
Oh, okay.
But it's kind of a similar thing yeah. happening in, Leviathan Wakes.
Who is the author of Leviathan Wakes?
It's James S.A. Corey.
Okay.
And it's actually two guys. And I think James and Corey, I think that might be their middle names or last yeah. names. And I think the, I have to look it up. They write together.
Okay.
And like, I think it's like they'll, one guy will write a chapter, another guy will write a chapter. They'll pass them back and forth and kind of that way that it's not like one style stands out. They work on everything together.
Yeah.
So that you can kind of flows. Really good.
Okay.
Because it starts out, you're with this guy named Holden. He's a captain of a small ship that actually he's part of a bigger ship that got destroyed. And then Miller is a guy that's a detective on a security force on a little moon that is basically, it's a police force.
Yeah.
And the cops, really, there are no laws. So the cops really can use a lot of
force and stuff like that.
Force, and they probably should sometimes. But yeah, it's interesting. And these two people, as you follow the first half of the book, and they kind of like meet it. That's saying, here, I'm just ruining everything for people that want to read it. But you follow their storylines, and will they meet? Will they won't meet? I don't yeah. know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, Joe Schreiber did Star Wars Death Troopers. And it says, okay, it was released October 13th of 2009, Death Troopers is set just before the events shown in A New Hope. It was heavily featured in the MMORPG Star Wars Galaxies with SOE. I'm not sure what SOE is. Confirming a full page of information and advertising of the game in the book.
Huh.
On September 22nd, 2010, Ballantine Books revealed the cover of the prequel, also by Schreiber, called Red Harvest. And I will say, Red Harvest didn't really seem like a prequel, but it was pretty neat. It was a pretty good book. They were both decent. I actually like Death Troopers a lot better, but Red Harvest was a prequel, but it's kind of was released in true Star Wars fashion where Death Troopers came out first and then
okay.
Red Harvest came out afterwards. And I don't know if that's true Star Wars fashion now or whatever, but you know, seems kind of appropriate.
We haven't even talked about some of the news about the stuff that's come out. I mean, we knew Rian Johnson's off doing his
thing. Oh, yeah, that's right.
And the double...
John Favreau's
doing a live-action series that's going to be on the Disney...
The Disney streaming wouldn't it? Yeah.
App, and that's going to make me want to get that.
Oh, God, yeah. It's
I love John Favreau. Everything he's... Stuff all the way back to like movies like Swingers.
Oh, like, yeah.
So funny. He had this little independent movie come out a couple of years ago where he's this guy called Chef, where he opens up a little...
Is it the food truck?
It's a food truck movie.
Yeah.
That's really good.
That is a good movie, man. I've seen that one.
He's just good.
I love Jon Favreau. And that's what's crazy is I know some people have been kind of throwing a fit about him now doing a Star Wars movie, but he did a great Iron Man movie. I know he did the first Man movie.
Yeah.
And I want to say he did... Iron Man 1 and Iron Man 2. No, I guess, you know, people don't really care for Iron Man 2 all that much, but I still thought it was entertaining. Out of the two Iron Men, like, the first one's my favorite, and it's probably still one of the best Marvel movies that they've done, I thought.
That's great.
I mean, honestly, I haven't been really disappointed with any of the Marvel movies, except for Captain America Civil War. Kind of like...
Is that the one where they... I don't know if I even watched that one, because that's where they had everybody in it.
Yeah, it just seemed like another Avengers movie.
Yeah.
But yet it was labeled as a Captain America movie. So it kind of like... I love Captain America. He's been one of my favorites since I was a kid. You know, my big three, whenever I was a kid, was Captain America, Spider-Man, and the Incredible Hulk. And then, you know, on the DC side, I loved, you know, Wonder Woman... Batman and, you know, a little bit of Superman also, but I always, you know, as I got older, I will say I loved Superman whenever I was a kid, but as I got older, I was just like, man, Superman is so powerful. You know, like how can, you know, and I don't have anything against Superman, but he's just so powerful that it's kind of hard for me to really like him as much as what I do, say, Batman or Wonder Woman and stuff. But yeah, there's the Jon Favreau live action series coming out. The guys from Game of Thrones, I can't remember those dudes' names right now.
Benioff and Weiss
do that. They're going to be doing a...
I just wish, you know, I just want to be patient and wait and see, but I'm just like, oh, are they going to go? Because here's my wish list.
Yeah.
I want to go back.
Oh, yeah.
I want to go back way before A New Hope.
Oh, yeah.
I want to go back to, like, the foundation of the Jedi Order.
Like, exactly. And that's one thing that we were talking about. That's one... you and I were both in agreeance, and I think Steven was in agreeance also, where we would like to see the beginning of the Jedi Order. Because, you know, in that scene there I guess it's like the temple or the meditation spot there Anyways, the name of the island's not... important.
Octu.
Yeah, Octu. There we go.
Hey, I got bonus points for me. I actually knew something.
This is remember T fail today is what this is.
T fail. That's going to be the name of the episode, fail.
Yeah, but, you know, it has an image on that, and I was wondering what the image was. So I bought the visual dictionary, and it was actually the founder of the Jedi Order. So that's something I would love to see, because I just want to know how did the Jedi Order start? What did it evolve from? You know, so yeah, I'm right there with you. I want somebody to tell that story. I want to see that story. I want to see that story in a movie. I don't want to see that in a comic book. I want to see that actually, like, big screen. You know, even primitive lightsabers, and hell, they might not even be lightsabers. They might just be swords at that point. Who knows?
Yeah.
It might go back that far. But
yeah. Yeah. That's one of those things. Like anytime any franchise or they bring in somebody that's so strong.
Yeah.
Like in Valiant brought in a character named Abram. Amazing. Oh, the Valiant character I was bringing up, it was like there have been a couple of miniseries. Right. And the character is divinity. All powerful. But the reason I kept wanting to say Eternity, because the most recent series that featured him and his wife is called Eternity.
Oh,
and that's why I was like, Eternity. No, that's not it. That's not Eternity. It's divinity.
Yeah.
And he's like, he can change your perception of time and space, the history of everything. They can do anything. They're godlike.
Oh, wow.
And to me, I love it.
Yeah.
Because the writer that created him.
Yeah.
Handles him well. But to me, when you introduce something, it's really dangerous. If that falls into somebody else's hands, it's like, what's the point? They can just
do whatever they want to at that point. Yeah, exactly. And like I said, like when they have that godlike power, it's fun. Yeah. But then like, how can you write bad guys for that? Because then the bad guy, you know, like Lex Luthor is obviously, you know, Superman's arch nemesis. So, you know, but Lex Luthor is, you know, super genius, basically. Like Wile E. Coyote, almost, I guess.
Yeah.
Super genius. But, you know, it's still kind of, to me, like, falls flat just a little bit, just because the character is so powerful. And, you know, he's got the one weakness, which is, you know, kryptonite.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess you could shoot Superman with a kryptonite gun, but then as soon as you pull the bullet out and he gets in the sun's rays and...
But how do you think this has happened in a book before? Like,
oh,
how do
really?
You get the bullet out?
Yeah, true.
Because you can't cut his skin.
True, but I guess you just have to, like...
Get a kryptonite knife and chop him up. I don't know. I'm sure...
Right?
I'm out of my depth on kind of Superman. My Superman was the original
Christopher Reeves.
Christopher Reeves, and going farther back.
Oh, yeah.
The black and white Superman.
The
big, thick body dude with ties that were way too tight. And
what was that guy's name,
George Reeves, wasn't
it? George Reeves, yeah. Dude, I loved the old Superman movies and Richard Pryor was in the one. The great John Williams score. That's what we need to do a show over sometime, is John Williams, just himself.
Easily could.
Yeah. Because, you start thinking about a dude like that and his just credits, you know. And I'm sure the earliest one that I can think of is Jaws. And I know that there's movies before that, but Jaws is the first one that I can think of. And just something so basic. Two notes. Dun.
Sharks.
But yet it strikes such fear into you with just two notes.
Yeah.
Dun.
That's always, that's associated with. Okay.
Yeah.
That's enough. I'm going to be looking for sharks now.
All right. At least we are far enough inland. You don't have to worry about it.
Oh, God. Yeah.
It's kind of like swimming in the lake. Like I was talking to somebody the other day, you know, we didn't really take super crazy vacations as a kid because our parents had a boat. And so we'd just go out and
jump in the lake,
go skiing, go, you know, tubing, all like this good stuff. But like, I never was big on skiing. I would hop in the tube and let them drag me all over the place, but I didn't want to go skiing because I didn't want to be in the water out there in the open water all by myself. And I equate that all to Jaws, even though I know that there's no sharks in the lake, but it makes you think that there's a monster down there somewhere.
I always have a feeling there's something there.
Oh yeah.
I don't get that. That's kind of gross. Yeah. Lakes.
Oh yeah.
I don't really like going into lakes. But.
Yeah, it's even worse.
You hide the body.
Yeah, and the lake. Yeah, especially, I guess, since a lot of your childhood home is under the lake now.
Yeah, and what's weird is we actually had gone to this lake near where we live that, where I grew up is under several feet of water now because they did a eminent domain and took my family's property.
Yeah.
And we had to move, and it's just across this dam, and anyhow, there's a park. The park that's on the east side.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, we had never been there. We went there with some of Trisha's family once, and it was really neat, beautiful. Then not long after that's when we had the big drought, and the water levels started dropping, and they were finding so many cars and like cars and bodies in them.
Holy crap! Like, really?
There's that missing person case solved.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, because it's just so people just go out there and get rid of people.
Good Lord. See, that's one thing I never would. That's the thing that scares me the most, man, is like being out there swimming or whatever and like you find a car and you're like, I'm not going to look at that.
No.
I don't know how those divers do that, man. Those like police divers that go down and recover stuff like that, dude.
That's got a sturdy, constitution right there.
I was thinking ambition. I was like, that's not ambition.
That's not ambition. No. If you have an ambition to deal with that kind of stuff, you're probably the person putting the people there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's rough. Cause that's one of those things that's definitely nightmare inducing.
Yeah.
You know, you swimming and you can't really see all that well because it's lake water. It's all murky and you've got your flashlight. Next thing you know, just boom. Well, that's why, you know, movies are always so great at that too. Like, you know, you think about it, like, I'll be swimming underwater, like searching this wrecked ship or whatever, and they'll turn the corner and there's like the floating body with like the fish picking little pieces of meat off of it.
I'm not going to lie. I jumped. We watched it recently for my oldest daughter's college class. She had a movie appreciation or something.
Oh,
class.
Wow.
And we were watching it and I had forgotten it or blocked it out of my mind. Under the water and they're looking at the boat that, and the head just goes.
The head just goes.
And I jumped. Scared me.
Oh, yeah. No, because I was watching it recently also. And I had completely, totally forgot about that part as well.
Yeah.
And it was like the head just comes floating out. Just
creepy.
Yeah. I was totally miming it. And it just doesn't work too well on podcast because.
You didn't scare me, Dave. I'm watching you.
I saw. I think you peed yourself a little bit.
Well, maybe.
Make sure you clean that chair.
I'll take it with me.
Right. Oh hey.
Well, we went off the rails.
Oh, we totally did. Like, this is 2BT fail. 2BT fail. 2BT
fail.
2BT fail and off the rails. At least it rhymes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Off the rails fails.
Dude, oh, man. Like, Jaws, I'm trying to think of other... I don't know how we've gotten around to this whole, like, stuff that scared the crap out of us. But
I don't know.
Yeah.
We started with Last Jedi digital.
I know, right? And now it's kind of Jaws.
How many times have you watched it since you downloaded it?
I've seen it 3 times.
Or streamed it, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen it 3 times. And I think maybe later on today, I might do TFA and then TLJ.
Sweet.
Yeah, just kind of watch them back to back just for grins.
My wife and I, the first day it came out and our internet, I should have done it earlier in the day. It's faster during the day.
Yeah.
Took so long that it was too late.
You haven't
been
talked into it yet earlier in the day.
I know, yeah. I knew I was going to do it. But So we watched it the next day, and then I thought her sister and one of her sister's daughter came over, and I thought we were going to watch it the last couple of nights.
Yeah.
But it just never worked out, so.
Oh, honestly, y'all didn't turn it on last night?
No, they were watching Titanic.
Oh, okay. So. That's still a great movie, man. I will sit there and say I love that movie. It's pretty awesome. And damn it, there's enough room on that door for Jack to get on there. He didn't
dang
have to
it,
die.
Dang it, Rose, are you happy? Right? My wife was like, dang it, Rose. You happy? Yeah. You took up another that door, Rose?
All you had to do is shift your weight over to the
just
side.
Just a little bit.
So that way Jack can get on there. But no, we see how it is. The man has to sink down into the water. And she says, I'll never let go, Jack. But obviously she does because he sinks down into the depths.
Oh,
yeah. Man, Rose is worthless.
Yeah, see you, Rose.
Yeah, see, I just let her go down into the depths. The depths of nothingness.
Yeah, we watched it the one time. Gotta say, still love it.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's a great movie, man. And I didn't realize that movie had been out 20 years now or whatever. I guess they did like a special engagement at theaters like not too long ago for the 20th year because I was like, man, I would have liked to go and see that. Or maybe that's this year coming up. But they did like a special 3D release of the movie and all. And I was like, oh, man. I guess it didn't get a whole heck of a lot of advertising and stuff.
I guess not.
Yeah, because I totally would have checked that out. But I guess that was, what was that, 96 that movie came
something
out?
Something like that, yeah.
I think it was 96. It was either 96 or 97. It could have been 98, too. Who knows?
I can't remember.
Yeah. That was back in the, that was before the pre-Partying Dave days. But, yeah, that kind of time frame gets kind of fuzzy.
Yeah. Because you're getting old, dude.
Well, yeah, that too. So, I think I tend to block out a lot of those years just because I didn't know what the hell I was doing. Don't know what I'm doing right now, but yeah. But I think that's officially going to do it for us. I'm kind of tapped.
Yeah, we've definitely fizzled out there.
Yeah, it's all right.
But just kind of Ready Player One coming out. I sent you a list last night.
Yes,
every game mentioned. Every book mentioned, every movie mentioned, and man, when you start looking at those lists, you can really go down a
rabbit hole. That's for rabbit sure. Hole. I haven't even looked at the movie list yet, man. You sent that list, and I was like, oh my goodness! Like, I just really kind of paid attention to the video game list, and I was like, man, I didn't even realize that. And I was like, well, I think that some of the games are just kind of mentioned or referenced or whatever. Yeah. And then some of the games are actually played.
Right.
But, you know, I was sitting there looking at all those games. I was like, okay, played that one, played that one, played that one. And haven't played that one. I haven't even heard of that one or whatever. But, you know, Steven brought up Explorers. Yeah, and I was so disappointed.
That's a good one.
Because that was a
River
movie.
Phoenix.
Oh, yeah. River Phoenix and Ethan Hawke. Yeah, like, super young, both of them. And
that was Ethan Hawke's first movie, I believe.
I think you're right. I think it was. And that was like a movie that me and Steven used to watch all the time as a kid. It was just great, you know, and, you know, they find the old tilt-a-whirl thing and they turn it into a spaceship or whatever.
I watched it about a year or two ago. I still enjoy that.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, it's been a while for me. It's probably been at least like 5 years.
Who else is in that? There's a third guy.
Yes, there is. And, who was that? I was also trying to remember another movie the other day, and I can't think of what it was, but I want to say it was either River Phoenix or Ethan Hawke in as well, and it was about a group of boys because, you know, the 80s and or whatever, I guess we're great about doing movies about a group of children doing something or whatever, because there's always all these movies about a group of kids.
Yeah.
Like The Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
Explorers. Yeah. Goonies.
Yeah.
Stand By Me. You know, man, there's, I'm trying to think of more, but I can't think of them right now. Okay. It was
one of the Coreys.
No, see, I thought that at first too. I thought Corey Feldman was in this, but it's Ethan Hawke, River Phoenix, and, Jason Preston. I don't know.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah. Anyways. Yeah. I thought it was one of another famous dude also. And now that I actually look it up, I guess it wasn't, but yeah, I don't know. There was a ton of great movies in the '80s that dealt with kids. It's almost like they were intending us to be latchkey kids almost. Like, well, here, sit your kid in front of the TV and let them watch this movie here.
E.T., that's kind of how they were used.
With the super young Drew Barrymore.
Yep. Oh, before we wrap this up, Dave.
Yes?
I've been cheating on you.
Oh, no. I was actually going to bring this up also, but since you did, I was going to bring it up earlier and we got sidetracked.
Well, you hurt me so bad and off the recorder with this guy named Adam.
Right.
I'm like, I can do that too.
I'll show you.
Just be on the lookout. Me and Paul from VCP and many other Nerd Religion shows started doing we're going to make it last at least 3 episodes before we quit. right now we've got one in the bank. It's called Paul and Michael Occasionally Save the World, because we occasionally are going to be able to record, and occasionally like we're just doing it bits and pieces at a time. So keep your eyes out. Just subscribe to the Nerd Legion main feed and it'll pop up there someday. Could be a week. It might be 6 months, but who knows?
I suggest checking it out. Mike sent me a copy of it the other day, and listen for anything just for the intro. The intro is great.
Did you like that?
I love the intro.
Paul gets credit for the, do you like the Mighty Mouse?
Yes. That's what I was going about.
That was, I had built the, call it building, because I used like 10 different pieces for stuff to build the intro.
Yeah.
And I sent it to him. He's like, you ever seen that Andy Kaufman? Or you seen that Andy Kaufman do the whole Mighty Mouse thing? I'm like, yeah. He says, I want that. And he says, well, I'm not going to say, y'all have to listen and see what it is. He had a great idea and it really flowed really well into what I already put together.
The whole intro was great. I listened to a little bit of the episode. It was great. I didn't get to listen to the entire episode because I had crap I was going to do.
Sound quality's not very good first episode because this first time I'd used Skype and my headphones were really lousy. Microphone, it just didn't pick up very well. I had a lot of echo, but the next one we already recorded 30-40 minutes the other night, and it's a lot better. I got a new headphone with a headset, and
awesome,
works really good.
Good. I'm excited. I'm actually excited to hear the podcast whenever it comes out. So, but I just like totally noticed something here.
What's that?
That's a Harrison Ford movie that totally always gets overlooked. I went down the rabbit hole of IMDb. I started looking at River Phoenix and stuff.
Harrison Ford. Mosquito Coast.
Yes.
Boom.
Yeah.
No, I love that movie.
Yeah, dude. Everybody hates him in that movie because he plays a jerk. Oh, it's the dog.
Sally.
Yeah. Mike.
Well, he's just crazy. I just jumped.
Mike looked over the door like Jaws is about to come through the door.
When we talk about sharks, I get a little bit nervous, dude. But yeah, that's a great movie.
Yeah, it is.
And
man,
if you don't know what it is, it's about this crazy inventor, right, who takes his family off to the Amazon, deepest, darkest regions of the Amazon, and he's going to bring them ice.
Oh.
Right? He's going to make a big machine to create ice.
Yeah.
And because ice equals civilization, because if you have ice, you can preserve your food. Ice is great.
That's, you know what? I actually read a book called How We Got to Now, and one of the key moments in how we got to now is ice. So that's kind of funny that you say that because that's true. Ice is a big part of civilization, believe it or not. And it's like something that I forgot what the movie was all about. But yeah, you think that it's kind of crazy that ice is being a part of a civilization. But really, I mean, you think about it, check out How We Got to Now. It's a book I did on Audible as well.
Cool.
So yeah, anyway, sorry.
The Mosquito Coast is excellent. I want to go home and watch that.
I know. I'm going to have to watch it also because it's been forever since I've seen it. I couldn't actually remember what it was about.
He's kind of likable at the very beginning, but by the end of the movie,
I just remember he got pissed off at one of the kids or whatever. You put him in the dinghy behind the boat and was making him sit back there for punishment or whatever.
Yeah.
But he plays a jerk and everybody hated that movie because Harrison Ford had always been like a lovable guy in most of the movie. Well, besides, I guess like Blade Runner or whatever.
I guess that might have been one of the first movies where he's like, hey, I can do other stuff.
Yeah. It shows his like true acting chops and stuff like that. And I think after that came like Regarding Henry and
that was a good
Sabrina
one.
And
what's the one Witness where he goes and looks at the Amish? Yeah. I think we went to see that together.
Yeah, I think so. It's been a while.
Yeah, we just need to. We could do a whole day just going back down his filmography.
That's what we need to do. We need to just set up the microphones one day and just sit up and watch movies, and we'll just sit back and probably watch movies and not really talk and have a bunch of dead air on the microphones.
Oh, cool!
Right.
Don't you do it. They're going to shoot you.
Don't you go in there.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us. I'm David.
I'm Michael.
2BT signing out.
Adios.
Vaya con Diaz. Water rum. Boom, boom, boom. I can either A, clinch it, and hope that my body just reabsorbs it. Maybe it'll turn into a burp.
Burp. Burp, burp.
Are you ready for your vasectomy?
Mike, edit this out.
Yeah. I want to be captain of the committee that makes sure you guys don't F this up.
I swear to God, dude, it came out with a vengeance, too. I don't know. Oh, my God. I don't know if like the...
Yeah. It's glorious. Yeah. Santa Claus is real.
Oh, well, look, he's not that bad of a dude.
Straight to the fart noises. There's only one day.
He's a little guy, red hair, that he likes to sing and play his lute.
I don't know, maybe it's my upbringing or something.
I don't know, like, it's just fun. I'm texting, be like, oh, well, you know, my feats are better than your feats.
Man. You're an old man and pretty much done.
There you go.
Dude.
Everything's better with reverb.
Oh, yeah. Excellent.
Giant lump of wet dough. Okay.
Where are you from? And I was like, Texas.
Oh, whoa. Now, how dare you say that to little Timothy?
Yeah.
This, by the way, spoilers.
Hey. I guess it's the Texas thing.
I love my family.
Excellent.
Oh, you want to be a tough guy? I'll be a show what tough is. And
Go home. Dude, you mind if I sit over here? And he's like, dude, knock yourself out, man. Oh, it must be a Texas thing. Don't do that, by the way.
I'm having a brain freeze.
Oh, no.
And I'm like,
Ujava, the heebie-jeebies. Face down in a gut. I don't want to admit defeat, though.
Well, this is not good.
Like, dude, I love it. I love it all. Whoa, dude. Oh, my God.
Star Wars guys are crazy.
My butt has a cannon.
If you're going to go out, that's the way to do it.
I dig it. It belongs in a museum. Oh, dude, hurry up and get here. Yeah.
Man in black fled across the desert, and the gunslinger followed.
The Last Jedi. Run DMC.
Han, Luke, Leia.
R2 and 3PO.
Rey, Finn.
Yoda, Kenobi.
Poe.
Do or do not, there is no try. Well,
Chewbacca has to die.
The Palpatine. Betray you.
Chewbacca. You know R.A. Salvatore.
This is a good guy, this is a bad guy. This is a good guy, this is a bad guy. Go.
Dang it.
Yeah. But, like, crap, I'm just, like, stuttering and rambling there. Beans, the wonderful fruit. The more you eat, the more you toot. The more you toot, the better you feel, so eat beans with every meal. I have a belief that if the more you fart, the longer you'll live.
No! You don't stop playing because you get old.
Yeah.
You get old because you stop playing.
That wasn't terrible.
That was pathetic. Boom.
Nerdy Legion.
Nerdylegion.com.